Magic Kingdom. Board.
All right, Brad. Well, I've got some follow-up from a, months-old episode back when we were talking about the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel.
Does this still get to be called follow-up now, or is it now just, like, some news?
Well, it's referential, at least.
Okay.
Basically, in that episode, they had revealed the concept art of the hotel, so kind of what the Galactic Star Cruiser looked like. And then there were some construction photos of the hotel, you know, basically just the bones of the hotel being built. And I had questioned, like, so the bones of the hotel were more or less a square. And the Galactic Star Cruiser itself was a very elongated ship. It was very long and skinny. And I couldn't wrap my head around, how does being inside of this square building translate to being aboard this ship? Because the shapes were totally incongruous. But it turns out, had I been patient and seen these newer images that were just taken a few days ago, the hotel has its square that I saw, and then jutting off of one of the edges of the square is a super long, skinny rectangle. And so the hotel itself does actually look like the concept art of this ship that Disney unveiled. I also like that on the opposite end of the, you know, long, skinny part, there is a porte-cochere where the ship will drop you off to enter the Star Cruiser. I am very, very interested, though I will likely never get to stay at this hotel. I am very excited to see how it looks and how it functions when it opens. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things about this hotel, I'm like, I'm really excited to see the YouTube videos of the people who actually do get to stay here. Again, I'm continually reminded at the, you know, as we see this, just looking in preparation for talking about this, just looking at the concept art again and just being really excited about this whole cruise idea and seeing how that's going to play out, because that it finally made sense to me. That's when I became really excited about it. So,
yep.
Yeah, it is nice to see, though, that it's not going to be a big square. We won't need any of your weird moving walkways or any of that kind of stuff to make that part of it make sense. There's still a lot of question marks in there. You know what? I'll say that the other side that makes... No. Yeah, because I have become more excited, and I do know the reason now. Because I've been to Galaxy's Edge, and I see how that side of it can make sense. And seeing how that side of it can make sense, and seeing how they can make the atmosphere work there... makes me a lot more confident that they're going to be able to pull this off, I guess. Because essentially that's what this is, right? It's just a more in-depth, longer Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, and just again, the whole, like, turning this hotel in, like, from a hotel into a fixed 2-day experience is genius. Like, just in general is a genius idea.
Yes, we'll take a ludicrous amount of your money.
Right.
You'll only stay for 2 days, and then more than likely, you'll go ahead and spend the rest of your time, because you're also going to want to visit Disney on top of doing your Star Wars experience. And those are, I truly believe those are going to be two different things.
And it would be really cool if the cast members aboard the Galactic Star Cruiser knew what hotel you were moving to. So, like, at the end of your cruise, if you were going to stay at the Poly, if they knew and they would tell you, like, once we dock, you know, back on Earth, your room at the Polynesian will be available and we will transfer your luggage to your room at the Polynesian Resort for you, you know, or something like that, where they could bring the Walt Disney World Resort kind of into the world of the Galactic Star Cruiser. Because I'm sure most people are going to do this at either the beginning or the end of their vacation. And so if they could do something like that, that would be cool. You know, we're because right now for Tragical Express, when you're leaving, you go and drop your bags off at your hotel And then they put them on the Tragical Express, take them to the airport for you and everything. If you were doing your Galactic Star Cruiser trip at the end of your, you know, say week-long stay at Disney, it would be cool if you could drop your bags off at your hotel front desk and have them take your luggage to the Star Cruiser for you as if you were going on a Disney cruise. You know, and actually have Disney treat the Galactic Star Cruiser as a literal other thing. Yeah. Not a Disney hotel, but a literal other thing that is not just visiting a resort.
And that's an interesting thought, because, you know, I'm pretty sure the last time we discussed this, probably after D23, when all this came out, right? Like, we discussed the whole leaving and going to a Disney resort and how that should be handled in that way, where, you know, everything is taken care of for you and it's as though you're being transferred once you're back on Earth. I hadn't thought about the, you know, if you did the Disney part first, how that transfer might go. And yeah, that would be pretty cool. So I definitely hope that that's where this ends up. I just more things to be excited about. And Jeremy, in the more things to be excited about, we get to talk about Docking Bay 7's menu for, what is this, the third week in a row?
Have we talked about that? Have we talked about the names of the food items at Docking Bay 7? I don't remember talking about that.
I feel like maybe somebody got real grumpy like about
for literally three episodes in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, are you tipping your hand here, Jeremy? Are you telling us where you're going to end this where you're coming down on these new menu items? These new old menu items.
Okay, so basically Disney has reintroduced fun naming to Docking Bay 7, I assume as a response to the backlash of them removing it. Because, like, they have Star Warsy words in them again, but also the regular words, like, they basically split the difference. Instead of beef pot roast, it's now Batuan beef pot roast. It's smoked Caddo pork ribs instead of just smoked Caddo ribs, so they just slipped the word pork in there. It's Andorian fried chicken tip-yip. So you get the tip-yip, the nonsense word in there, but also chicken. So I get, like, at this point, yeah, I'm happy that they did this because I want the fun words back, but boof, what a roller coaster.
It definitely was a roller coaster to get to this point, but I feel
this is just what they should have done first.
Yes. Yeah, they should have done it first, and don't get me wrong, there would have still been a backlash, right, to add in the you know, what it actually is, whether it's beef, pork, chicken. There was going to be some backlash there, but I feel like it would have been so much less than, you know, if you didn't go from the shock roast to beef pot roast.
And Disney would have saved some face just by saying, like, hey, this is something we need to do, and then just leave it. You know, they didn't have to totally kill it and then come back and say, okay, now it's changed again.
Well, so. With the breakfast, right? This is essentially the breakfast chain.
Yes.
Where it's the halfway. And again, I feel like when we discussed this last week, I was happy with the, like, optimally, would I take them just not changing it at all? Of course. But if they're going to have to change it for whatever reason, whether that's the lines are too long or people just get confused when there's a lot of words, whatever it may be, I'm okay with them, you know, finding a middle ground. And this is, like you said, this is that middle ground. So I'm actually happy to see this. I feel like this is, where's some wood in this office? Because I'm like, I'm about to say, I feel like hopefully this is the end to this saga, and maybe next week
it's gotta be.
We won't have to talk about these menu changes anymore. Good on them for you know what? Good on them for listening.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have to go anywhere back, you know? They could have stuck with beef pot roast, because You know what the secret is here? They were going to sell probably almost just as much pot roast, whether it was called shock roast, beef pot roast, or Batuan beef pot roast.
Yep.
It wasn't going to be nearly as much fun, but they were still going, Disney was still going to sell plenty of pot roast at the end of the day.
And aside from the $19 a plate. Yeah. And aside from the people in our little echo chamber, nobody cared.
Well, aside from the people in our little echo chamber, nobody knew, right? Like,
right.
Most people,
nobody noticed.
Most people aren't keeping up with the news. They would have shown it up to Disney. They would have gone into this place called Docking Bay 7 because they wanted to get lunch, and they would have saw beef pot roast or fried chicken, and they would have said, okay, yeah, I'll take that, you know? Now,
right.
I don't feel like somebody's going to be sitting there going, geez, I really wish they would have come up with some fun, quirky names, you know? But that's, and what I, you know, at the same time, that's not to excuse it. Again, if they had kept it as is, I was still going to be unhappy with it because that's not the measuring stick that we use for Disney. We don't use what will people be not unhappy with.
Right. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to find something to be, you know, I don't see anything to be upset about here.
No, it just at this point feels silly. Like so many changes so quickly, it's just getting hilarious. I think is you know my only issue is that it's getting silly at this point. But I am glad, like you said, they did not need to do this. This is a step back into obscurity, and they absolutely did not need to do that. But I'm glad they did, and I think, like I said, this is where they should have gone in the first place, the first time. So this is good as far as I'm concerned. And if they leave it here, which I don't think there's anywhere to go, the only place to go now is go back to, you know, just calling it pot roast. So I don't think they have anywhere else they need to go, and I think this will stay, and that's fine. I think it's good.
By the way, can we talk about that there are some times when the words and the... So, you know, the big words are supposed to be the confusing words, right?
Yeah.
And the little words are supposed to be the words that explain the big words that make it less confusing, the subtitles, if you will.
Uh-huh.
The Taco Donna Veggie Dippers Youngling Meal. Okay, I need some explanation of that. Black bean hummus, edible soil with nuts, chilled dipping... Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait. Edible soil
edible
with...
Edible soil.
No, again... If you're going to put words like that, those need to be up in the top set. Because in this right here, you need to be explaining to me what the heck you mean by edible soil.
And with an asterisk and like a, you know, C below.
Yeah, ground, you know, sesame nuts with, you know, or I don't.
Well, as a kid, edible soil was ground up chocolate cookie.
Right, exactly.
Know? It was...
Exactly. That's the edible soil.
It was soil Oreo.
And you know what? I've watched enough fancy cooking shows to know that edible soil can mean a lot of other things. But the problem is that if you just put the words edible soil out there, I don't know which one of those things you're talking about. So
right.
There is maybe still a little bit of room for some clarification.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that.
I just happened to be like glancing through these and I was like, wait, edible soil? Okay.
You know, edible soil.
Of course, because who doesn't know about edible soil?
So Disney on October 28th announced that the Skyliner had transported its 1 millionth guest. And, that's great. I'm glad. I think it's awesome. What was shocking to me is that 1 million people have already ridden the Skyliner. Like, that seems... impossible to me. That's a lot of people in less than a month.
Yeah, but the Skyliner does a lot of, like, the one thing about this is I'd like them to I'd like to and not that Disney should or would give this data out, but I'd be interested in knowing, like, how long did it take how long does it take the Disney buses to hit that sort of number, because I've got a feeling it's a lot quicker because there are a lot more buses, right? Or for the monorail. Now, I don't know. The monorail probably takes longer because the Skyliner can just, it eats a lot of people. Now, you might have thought this 1 million might take longer to get to because it actually has to be moving for it to get to 1 million people. But yeah, it's a... Here's the thing. When it works, it's a really, really effective way of getting people from point A to point B. And I think as we discussed when we talked about, you know, the issues it's been having, or it had, I guess, I haven't really heard... But I'm also not like checking Twitter daily for Skyliner fails or something like that. But nothing has been bad enough that it's become loud enough that I've heard about it since, you know, that major issue at Riviera. So it sounds like they're getting better. More power to them. I'm happy about it. And yeah, it's crazy how quickly they got to 1 million, but I'm not surprised at all. And also because they have a lot of people, like there's still a lot of people at this point that are, that's not just a transport. Like, I don't really know anybody who just is like, I'm going to go to Disney and I'm going to jump on the buses. Like, not to,
right,
not to get to a place, but because I really am down with riding a Disney bus, right? Like,
yeah, you don't get on the bus and ride to Disney Springs and then turn around and just get on the bus and ride back to your resort.
Exactly, exactly. Or, you know, and now with the monorail, I've totally done that, right? I've even done that with with like the friendship boats or something. Just a way to relax. And that is something that the Skyliner can do, because it has that wow factor to cause people to just, you know, go ride it back and forth. So I need to know, is this 1 million unique visitors, or is this just 1 million? Because it says 1 million riders, right?
No, yeah, they can't. There's no way for them to know unique. Because you're not scanning anything to get on.
You don't think they are. You don't know. It's Disney. It's Disney. They probably know. They probably have like little facial recognition scanners at every stop. They
have butt detectors on the benches.
Yes, for that unique print when you sit down.
I have seen this butt before.
You know what? That's probably why they make everybody have to sit down. Oh my gosh, Jeremy, we've figured it out. You better watch out. The
butt detectors.
The black helicopters are headed your way right now, buddy. Get out now.
Last week, Disney announced that at Disneyland. So. Okay, years ago, Disney announced that at Disneyland and Disney World, these fuel rod portable batteries would be available at the parks. And basically, you pay, I think, $30?
Yeah, it's $30 to buy one.
You pay $30 for the initial, and then whenever the charger runs out of battery, you just find another dispenser, put your old one in, hit the button, and it takes your old one back and ostensibly recharges it and then waits for somebody else, and it gives you a new one. And it was just free. You paid the $30 the one time, which is, you know, grossly overcharging, but you get a free one in return.
Yeah,
like a free refill, as it were.
I remember we discussed this when it was first coming out, and like we looked at it, and you know, we talked about the battery packs that you could buy on eBay especially on Amazon. Watch out for battery packs on eBay. Well, watch out for battery packs on Amazon too, for that matter, because you can get some real sketchy stuff.
Out for batteries in general if it has the word lithium in it.
Yeah, which most of them are going to have. So, but when we looked at this, we said for the money, you can definitely get a much bigger battery. But that the selling point was that whole just being at the park, saying my battery is out, and being able to throw it in there. And if I recall correctly, it came with charging apparatus as well. So you
could, it comes with a USB to, I think, USB to micro USB, and then an Apple 30 pin and an Apple Lightning adapter to go on the end of that micro USB.
Right. So you could take it to the room overnight and charge it if you wanted to. But if you didn't want to, you know, but if it's during the day and you don't want to deal with all that, you just throw it in the machine and pop out a fresh one. And that's why you're paying that really big cost up front, is because you get that swapping ability, and that's worth a lot if you're in the park. Or that's the thought process.
basically what they said was it's free lifetime swapping. You for as long as you have the thing, as long as you have one to turn in, you get a recharged one for free. So last week, Disney announced that at Disneyland, the free swapping was going away, and it would be a $3 charge every time you wanted to swap your battery pack. Which stinks, because like that just adds a whole layer of complexity. You know, then you have to sit there and pay when you need to swap one out, and it sucks. I mean, $3 isn't that bad, but I would assume that these would get used a lot less if there was a $3 charge. And everybody got real mad. Somebody threatened a class action lawsuit. I don't know if they actually filed it.
So they actually did file. So first of all, it wasn't just Disney, all the Disney parks. So Disneyland and Walt Disney World, we're going to be moving to this swapping being $3, which wasn't a new thing, which is very interesting to me because if you go look at some old pictures of these fuel rod chargers and you see free unlimited swapping is like one of the deals on the machine, right? But at the same time, it's not. Fuel rods were not unique to Disney parks, because I remember when we were talking about them, we were talking about where you could get them exchanged and you could do airports and all these sorts of things. And apparently a lot of other places have already moved to paid fuel rod swaps. Disney was is one of the last places that's still offering the free fuel rod swaps. But yes, once this information came out, There was a lawsuit filed against the company who created fuel, not against Disney, but basically in California, suing them, saying that this is the main reason that you're buying these things. So class action lawsuit on you for starting to charge for something that was and you know what? Here's the thing. I kind of agree with that. No. I'm not even gonna. You know what? I'm not hedging my bets and saying I agree with that, because if you sold me that at when we discussed it, I remember we came down at, it might be worth it to you depending on the type of charging you use. But we totally came to that conclusion based on it was a free. That was the whole point, not even the convenience of the swapping, but that it was convenient and free. Because
right.
Here's the thing. I would feel bad if I had, recommended to somebody that they got this fuel rod. And you know what? If you listen to this podcast and for some reason you bought it, I feel bad. Fortunately, Disney has backtracked on this for now. Hopefully they stay backtracked for a while. But that would, because at the point where it costs $3, like, I don't know where the break-even point is, but it's a lot of swaps before I feel like you're going to break even. And then when you pay that $3 and you get a new one, who's to say how many times that sucker's been recharged? And the batteries in this weren't amazing from the start. Like, I don't remember exactly what the, what the charge capacity was, but it wasn't huge. And how long are they keeping these things in circulation? Are you going to get one out and it be at like, you put one in that you've charged five times and you get one out that's been through like 100 cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally behind. Yeah, this is, you guys sold it with this being the concept, and then to then say, well, no, never mind. Free unlimited swapping until we say it's not right. Unlimited anymore. What is it called, Jeremy? When you get something up into a point, what would you call setting that point? We should come up with a word for this, limit. Limit sounds like a great word for something like that.
Yeah, and if they're going to do $3 swapping, the first thing they have to do is figure out how to have anybody who paid the $30 prior to, whenever they start charging for swaps, how they can get free swaps for life.
So this is kind of like the didn't the Teslas do that, something like that?
Yeah, where you got grandfathered into free
supercharger access or whatever.
Yeah, supercharging. I was going to say turbo charging, but yeah, they need to honor that, because if you paid $30 thinking, you know, well, I'm going to get free swaps for life, like you should be compensated, or not compensated, but you should be grandfathered into free swaps for life. Secondly, like, I'm good with $3 swaps, but make the initial purchase cost $10. You know, make it, or $5.
I mean, even like, I could even say $15. And
basically, they need to make a profit on the initial cost, because there are going to be certain numbers of people who don't ever swap them.
Yeah.
People who are going to buy this thing, charge their phone one time, throw it in their bag, go home, and then go, ah, crap, I kept this, and throw it away, or throw it in a drawer, whatever. So they do need to make some money, or at least break even on the initial purchase.
Yeah, because we both know with that $30 initial purchase, they weren't making any money there.
But yeah, if they want to charge for it, just drop the initial price. Like, that's the easiest thing to do. Make it cheaper. And then, you know, if you pay $10 up front and then pay $3 per swap, that's what, 9 swaps before you hit $30?
That's $37. It's like, what, 7 swaps, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But still.
Either way, that's not that bad. I mean, that's one day per one, you know, one per day on a week-long vacation. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, but, and here's the thing. That seems reasonable. That seems like at that price, if that's a decision that you make, that's your decision to make. I'm just not suggesting, like, even at $10, which I don't think they would ever go down to that price, but even at $10, at $3 a swap, I don't think that's worth it. Like, just get a, you know, spend that $30 up front that you're going to end up spending over the course of a week, and get a 20,000 milliamp, or, you know, whatever, get a high capacity battery that'll be able to charge your phone twice.
What if they did like $50 and it's free unlimited, or $5 and you pay $3 a swap?
Nope. You know why? Because they've already proven to me they can't be trusted. Unlimited is unlimited is a joke term to this company. So I don't know. I just, you know, it's,
well, unlimited, to be fair, unlimited is mostly a joke term to everyone who uses it. You know, ask AT&T.
Right.
And about their unlimited plan that starts slowing you down at 22 gigs.
And I do like the way that, you know, apparently Fuelrod, when asked about this, like, they covered so quick. Well, that pricing is actually set by wherever the deal is set. So this is not our fault. This is Disney making money.
Yeah. Which, the end point sets the price. Don't look at us.
Yeah, but that's and here's the problem. If that's the case, then either you shouldn't be advertising free and limited, because it wasn't like, and Disney is complicit in this as well, right? Because they were putting up, they were theming these boxes and stuff, and continuing to keep the words free and limiting charging. And I don't see any asterisks on that box. So, yeah, it's Disney's fault as well, but I seem to recall the suckers being advertised on the Fuelrod website, and I feel like that was a big selling point on their website as well. They knew there was a limit to this. They knew the bottom would fall out eventually, and they were just hoping that they would be able to, you know, run away clutching their money bags before this happened, I guess. probably what they did is they signed, you know, they had contracts signed where, you know, the airports and Disney and all the, you know, all the places they had this available had signed a contract saying that they would get a cut of every battery sold, and probably, you know, maybe even a cut of every exchange that happened for a certain period of time. And in exchange, they wouldn't levy any fees, or they'd lower the fees, or whatever the case may be. And then those contracts started expiring, and people started, you know, I mean... other than Disney, of course, because Disney would never do anything for the money, but a lot of other places started seeing money being available. So
I think you're right. And I hope that they do stay backtracked on this and just leave it at $30 and unlimited and suck it up.
Yeah, they'll kick it up to $37.50. And then they'll be sure to put that asterisk. It's gonna be free-ish unlimited charging.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.